Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to Nature Spirituality. This is Selena Fox, and tonight we explore greening death. What is greening death but developing a plan and carrying it out so that after you have completed your life, you will continue to contribute to solutions for a healthier environment rather than be part of the pollutions problem. I first started greening death by having nature-themed funerals. And I continue to incorporate nature imagery in the funerals, celebrations of life, and memorials that I do. End-of-life passage rites. But I also have, as part of greening death, the option for people who choose this to have green burial. Green burial is having an unembalmed body in a biodegradable container, a shroud or a pine coffin or cremation box, and have that returned to the earth, buried without a liner, without other things that don't biodegrade as part of the burial process. And I also consider a form of green burial having cremated remains buried or scattered, as we do at Circle Cemetery. Another way of greening death is supporting green cemeteries. And I'm going to be talking about these various forms of greening death tonight, sharing with you some of my experiences as founder and director of Circle Cemetery, which is a green cemetery, one of the first green cemeteries in North America. It is located at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, which is a 200-acre nature sanctuary in the Driftless Bioregion area of southwestern Wisconsin, USA. Circle Sanctuary's headquarters are at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve and have been since 1983 when we moved to the land. In 1995, we began our cemetery on the land. It is a church cemetery. All 200 acres of Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve is zoned as religious use in the zoning laws, and 20 acres of that 200, one-tenth of the land, is our green cemetery. And I have conducted a variety of cremains releases scattering in the restored prairie. That's one of the sections of our green cemetery. I also have done cremation burial in the original part of our cemetery, which is a wooded ridgetop. And another part of our cemetery is a burying ground for full body natural burials, also known as green burial. The fourth part of our cemetery is our stone circle. It is a microlithic stone circle. Each stone brought and placed in the great ring of stones with a prayer for planet Earth, one or more aspects of environmental healing and well-being on our planet. So, greening death. I'm doing this workshop in order to share some information about how to consider options for end of life. It is best to make your plans while you are still healthy and not having to deal with the challenges of also dealing with physical, mental, and other problems that can happen as a person approaches death. And I'm sharing this information not only for you to be able to consider your own plans, but perhaps you have a loved one that is engaged in a planning process or should be, and to give some information that hopefully will be helpful. One of the things about developing an end-of-life plan and to have it be an eco-friendly end-of-life plan is to be aware of what choices there are available. And one of the great things about 21st century greening death processes, there are a lot more options available for people. There are more providers of various items that you can use for green burial, for cremains release, for green funerals, and there are more green cemeteries. When I started Circle Cemetery back in 1995, we knew of no other green cemeteries. Yet we felt it was important to move ahead with our plans to have a church cemetery that actually not only intentionally preserved green space, preventing green space from being developed into human habitat forms, but to have the old form of returning human remains to nature as central to our cemetery process. So with a green cemetery, you have an ancient process having human remains return to the earth, biodegrade. So if we're talking about cremains scattered in an area, it feeds the plants, or buried, flowing back into the earth. If we're talking about full body burial, we're saying the body is not embalmed and the container it's in will decompose. It's another way of returning human remains to nature. We know that ancient peoples not only had cremation as an option, but full body natural burial or green burial as an option, because as people have explored different areas around the planet, green burials have been uncovered. And we know a lot about the ancient peoples from their burials. One of the things that I think is an important consideration, especially for people that really care about nature, it's part of spiritual practice, it's part of lifestyle. If you're spending your life really minimizing your impact negatively on the environment, then it makes sense that you prepare for the end of life so that you will continue to contribute to environmental sustainability after you have died. Some people think embalming is the way to go because they haven't been aware of non-embalming options. So one of the first things I want to lay out for preparing your end-of-life plan that can be eco-friendly is that you have choice. Many people choose to work with a funeral home and staff that way. Some people, though, are choosing home funerals. And as you consider your options, it's important that you develop a team of support people that not only are aware of your plan, but who will be willing to carry it out. Most funeral homes have encountered some instances, usually it's a religious reason, for not embalming a body. Judaism, Islam, the Baha'i faith, some pagan paths, and some Native American traditional ways do not have the body embalmed. What's less common, but is starting to become more common with funeral homes, is the idea of interfacing with burial at a green cemetery where there is no grave liner. And many cemeteries in the U.S. and some other parts of the world have fiberglass or concrete or even plastic lining the grave, primarily because of upkeep of the grave after the grave has been filled. At a green cemetery, there is a prohibition against having a liner because it actually interferes with the process of having the casket or shroud and the body contained within from breaking down and returning to nature. Think about the amount of resources that go into the ground in many cemeteries, steel coffins, copper coffins, you know, many mahogany coffins, which often the mahogany is coming from a rainforest that really needs to be preserved rather than exploited. So with a green burial, many people are choosing some type of wooden, simple wooden casket or coffin, and some use a form of construction where nails aren't even used. Others use special kinds of glues. Some people will use some nails to put the coffin together. There are a lot of different options. Some people have wicker baskets that are woven in coffin form that are used. And cremation boxes can be used for full body natural burial, not only at our cemetery, but at many other green cemeteries. One of my preferred ways of returning a full body to the earth is the shroud, a linen shroud with some straps built into them. Makes it much easier to lower the body into the grave, and the straps also being made of linen then go into the grave. But there are many different choices. At Circle Cemetery, we invite people to consider and to look around for different options. Some people like the cardboard cremation container because they can decorate it, and some people will have, prior to the death of a loved one, a gathering celebrating the loved one and actually decorating the cardboard coffin, or it might be made of wood or some other material that biodegrades. And certainly with shrouds, embroidery can be put on it, though The ones that we have used have been plain, and instead the decorations in the grave have been in the form of flowers and tokens of remembrance that go into the grave. So in developing your plan for end of life, the first thing to consider is, well, will I have cremation or will I have a full body burial? If you're having cremation, it is good to check several different places and look for a place that does cremation that is environmentally conscious. Yes, cremation does involve fuel that cremates the body, but there have been some improvements in cremation processes. There are some forms of cremation, some call them aqua cremation or aquamation, where biodegradable solution helps break the body down. It really depends on where you live and what the regulations are regarding what's permitted in your particular state or province or area. One of the things about cremation is, and why some people prefer cremation as an eco-friendly option, yes, it takes some fuel to have the body turn into ashes, but you have the option of having the ashes scattered. We have a prairie, which is our cremation scattering area, so it actually provides nutrients for our prairie grasses and flowers. So cremation doesn't necessarily mean you have to even get a plot at a cemetery. If you choose to have cremains buried, then there are different options depending on the cemetery you choose. Many will have those cremains go directly into the earth and have some kind of marker in that location. Some places have what's known as a columbarium, where ashes in an urn are held. So cremation is one option, and full body burial is an option. If you go with full body burial, then it's important to consider what kind of container that you would want your body in, and who is going to assist with the transport of the body, and should you die in a place during a cold time of year where the ground is frozen and it might be difficult to have the body buried immediately, well, what kind of backup refrigerated storage is there? Not all funeral providers have experience with green cemeteries or green burials, but increasingly people have started embracing this. And I've been part of the process of doing some education about greening the end of life with funeral home directors and owners and other professionals. I think it's really important to make sure that we can let those who are preparing their plans for end of life to have really good understanding of various choices. You do not have to be embalmed by any type of state law. I'm using that in a more universal sense. Know that you need to check with whoever's going to be assisting with your end of life, carrying out the wishes. Check in with them. They will most likely know what the current state of regulations are. Some people are under the impression that you die, you automatically get embalmed. No, you don't have to be embalmed. And actually, when you think about living your life in such a way that you're avoiding polluted air, polluted water, polluted ground, and chemicals in your food and that type of thing, why would you want toxic chemicals put in your corpse after you've died? Not good for your corpse, not good for the environment. So increasingly, people are becoming aware that you don't have to choose embalming. Something else that you need to decide pretty early on in your planning process, in addition to cremation or full body burial, is where will your remains go? Certain cemeteries have regulations, what is permitted, what is not permitted. And when you're looking for a green cemetery, there's actually what some would call shades of green. We are a fully green cemetery at Circle Cemetery, and that we do not have any sections of our cemetery where embalmed bodies are, where concrete or fiberglass or other liners are going into the ground. Those things are not permitted at our cemetery. Some cemeteries that might call themselves conventional, I kind of question the conventional. I understand why some people use that term. But when you think about humankind on planet Earth, there's been a lot more natural burial, thousands of years of natural burial as compared to the embalming. So it actually, the true tradition is returning human remains to nature. How come embalming has become quite a thing? In the USA, it was the American Civil War. People wanted to have the bodies of their loved ones returned, and in order to preserve the bodies, and this before electricity and that kind of electric refrigeration were options, embalming was what was done. And it became, it pretty much caught on as a practice. And yet, now in the 21st century, people are rethinking that choice, and increasing numbers of people are making plans to have a green death and to green their body and support some type of green cemetery as their body and or cremains are returned. Why go and or cremains? Well, some people will have as part of their choice, they will have a full body burial, and then they might have cremains of beloved creature friends, pets, that are interred with them. And that's certainly an option at Circle Cemetery and a number of other places. So after you've decided about do you do a full body burial or cremains, and if you do cremains, will they go into the ground or be scattered, then you figure out a cemetery, a final resting place. With cremation, you have the opportunity to have your cremains go in multiple places. And one of our longtime community members chose exactly that and had some of her ashes in the northeast part of the U.S., some out west at our cemetery in the middle of the nation, as well as some in the southeast. So there are many different options if you choose cremation. In addition to choosing the cemetery and learning what the protocols are with the cemetery, finding a provider that's going to work with you. Some people go with a funeral home and work with a funeral director. Other people choose a memorial society or choose a death doula or death midwife. Some choose to have a home funeral rather than having a funeral in a funeral home or some other location. All of these are possibilities, but it's important to figure out who you will be working with and to set your plans down in writing. In addition to these choices, I think it's important to have at least one person, and ideally two, that know what your wishes are, know where the paperwork is, who will continue to be in touch with you until the time comes where you cross over, in which case they take action, and basically have someone to serve as your representative who will interface with hospice, if you have a hospice situation at your end of life, or hospital personnel, if you die in a hospital, or if you die at home and you don't have hospice, that will interface with the coroner, with funeral home, or whoever else is going to be your provider. And being able to set down your plan in writing and to make multiple copies is really important. Having conversations about end of life for some people is really difficult. And it really does depend on how you're raised and what your social support network is like. Increasingly, though, people have chosen to bring the subject up, to talk with family and friends about end-of-life choices. And I do think it's better to have those conversations while you're still in pretty good health. If you have been diagnosed with some type of life-threatening illness, then it is really important, even if you're going through treatment that may bring about a cure or actually give you good quality of life for a long time, and I've seen that happen, it is really important if there is some kind of death looming possibility that you don't put it off. It's better to start working on what your choices are, learn choices, and put arrangements together and to put them in writing, have them witnessed, and to make sure those people who are important to you and that are legally able to represent you are in the mix. One place, one time that you may want to do your end-of-life planning is around Samhain, if that happens to be an important holiday for you. Many people engaged in some form of nature spirituality practice, contemporary pagans, Wiccans, Druids, heathens, as autumn comes on, in places where there are the four seasons, that often is a time where we think about death, we pay respects to ancestors, and we do rituals connecting with death, life, rebirth, honoring ancestors. Well, that can be a really powerful time to make your end-of-life plans. I'm doing this online workshop podcast in April, and certainly in Southern Hemisphere, you're going into the colder time of year. But why April? It's Earth Month. It's a time to be thinking about ways to live more sustainably. It seemed to me April also is a good month because of its connection with environmental conservation, preservation, and sustainability, to be thinking green as you do your end-of-life plans. Some things I'd like to share now are greening death with nature imagery. you think about your own connections with nature? Do you have particular dimensions of nature that are important to you? Are there places where you feel at peace, that your soul is nurtured? For some, it may be a forest. Others, it might be a mountaintop. Others, it might be a seashore or a lakeshore. Others, it might be a desert area. There are so many different types of environmental systems, ecosystems that are around the planet. And chances are you have one or more types of ecosystems that you resonate with. And within those types, chances are there is at least one place that you have wonderful memories of. It may be a place that you like to visit every year. It might be where you live. It might be in a home environment. It might be a place where you vacation. Why am I suggesting you call to mind environmental places that are special to you? As you conclude your life, whoever is in a spiritual care role with you, it would be good to talk about those places, to have a photograph or a painting of a place, and to have the person that is guiding you in the last moments of time on the earth guide a meditation in which your spirit is able to envision that place and be at that place as you transition. I work with the five elements of nature in the circle craft tradition, and it has its roots in pagan Greece. The five points of the pinnacle, earth, air, fire, water, spirit. So I work with those elements as I help people in their final time in life, and I also incorporate those elements of nature and their correlates with human life. And the burials, funerals, cremains, scattering, celebrations of life, other of life passages at the end of life, and I incorporate them in the liturgy. I will do ceremonial blessings with symbols of each of the five elements of nature. So I'd like to share a bit about nature imagery. And as a person is crossing over, and if I'm the person or one of the people there guiding the process, being a spiritual support as a person is in the final stages of life, I will bring with me a symbol of each of those elements and then do a blessing. By the powers of sacred earth, and typically I have a small dish of salt, or it might be sand or some kind of flour meal or cornmeal, whatever, and I will anoint the body with that symbol of earth. Blessings on your body, blessings of the sacred earth in your body as you bring closure to your life. And then I go to the next element. Often I use a feather. If I'm in a place where I can burn incense, I will burn incense, but sometimes having any kind of flame is not an option because oxygen are being used for the person in the final stages of life, in which case I may take some oils and put them on a feather or a fan, and then moving the feather around. Blessings of the sacred air on your mind, in your life, that is passing. I will take up a candle, either a lit flame if I'm able to do that, or a battery-operated tea light if I'm at a place where a living flame won't work. Or sometimes I will take a branch that is sprouting to represent the fire of life force in living things. Blessings of the sacred fire on your will as your life now passes. And then I'll take a chalice or a bowl of water and anoint the person, often sprinkle the water around, blessings of the sacred water on your emotions in your life now passing. And then for the fifth element, spirit, I'm usually using a clear quartz crystal, blessings of spirit on your soul as you prepare to transition into the other world. If other people are around and they want to take part, they may take each of the elemental tools as I'm doing the blessing. So salt, earth, the physical body, air, incense and or feather, the intellect, the mind, fire, will, energy, vitality, often with a flame or a sprouting branch, water for emotions, and crystal for the spirit. And as we do a crossing over blessing, if a person has a particular image of a sacred place in nature that they would like to be guided to as part of their transition, then I will guide a meditation using that. Or if they don't have a particular place, often I will have those around the person who's dying envision a glowing light in a mist, a fog, a mist kind of thing, which has been connected with the other world in a lot of different cultures. And then to experience the presence of the soul of the person being released from their body as they go into the other world. Sometimes when I'm guiding a meditation using nature imagery, the person who is dying will share some things, some visions that come to them. And I may incorporate that with the imagery work that I'm doing. When it comes time to do the funeral, memorial, or celebration of life, then I work with the elements of nature again. And this time, blessings of the sacred earth on your body in your life now past. So you change the tense for each of the blessings. Blessings of the sacred air on your mind in your life now past. Blessings of the sacred fire on your will in your life now past. Blessings of the sacred water on your emotions in your life now past. Blessings of the sacred spirit as you journey into the other world. Now, other world is a universal term that I often use in the green funerals that I do. But I make sure that if I am able to do planning prior to a person's death with the person, that I get a sense of what happens after death in their belief system. And then I attempt to incorporate that languaging as part of honoring the life that has passed and the spirit that is now in the other dimension or in process in the other dimension. I also use the elements of nature as I dedicate grave markers and graves and for full body burials and cremains, also use that as blessing tools. And that's part of the nature imagery that I have worked with, and I really not only am working with the elemental symbolically, but I experience them as a divine presence. And it's not unusual when I have been assisting with a burial or I'm the main person conducting it, that there's some manifestations of the elements, especially with winds coming up at appropriate moments. How does that work? Well, we're all interconnected. And I do think when we have a relationship with different dimensions of nature, and I'm not just talking about vegetation and creatures, I'm talking about spirits of place and the elementals and other forms of the divine that are interconnected with the natural world, that you can have that kind of spiritual support present as you're celebrating the life and connecting with the soul of the person as they're journeying in the other world. What are some other ways of working with nature images as you green death? Some people choose to have some seeds, often they're wildflower seeds, or it might be acorns, or it might be flowers or plants available that those who come to the memorial, the funeral, the burial, can take with them as a remembrance of the ceremony and of the person who's crossed over. And that can be a really powerful way of strengthening the nature connection when you are greening death. I also think having some type of flowers, and it may be flowers that you've grown or that you have found as you hunt and gather in various markets, to actually have some flowers placed at gravesite. For burials, I have often brought some type of dried herbs and dried flowers that are cast into the grave as part of the farewell process, and then fresh flowers put atop the grave when the grave is filled in. So some other ways of working with nature imagery has to do with the altar that's used for these end-of-life rites, as well as decorating gravesite. Some things to keep in mind as you think about greening death and what choices you have before you and what you prefer. One of the things that I like about having a green cemetery and having the options for people to get involved in the actual burial process is that I have seen by loved ones carrying out a burial, not just watching a few people do the service and do the burial, but actually get engaged with it. It's a way of fulfilling a loved one's wishes, and it can be a kind of cathartic experience. When Circle Cemetery began with cremains, scattering, and burial, and then in 2010, we expanded our cemetery to 20 acres so we could do full body burials. 20 acres at that time was what was required in order to do that. And yes, we had to go through some governmental processes to get the zoning updated and the map platted out and that type of thing. I know early on as we started doing full body green burials, people would dress as if they were going to a usual kind of burial and not necessarily in clothing that really lend itself to getting shovels full of dirt to fill in a grave. We have learned that it's good to do some education before a burial happens about it being a green burial, and that it actually will have an option if the person who's made the plans and their loved ones carrying out those plans want this, where it can be interactive, in which case we encourage people to wear comfortable clothing, especially foot gear, so that, and to bring along a shovel if they want to help fill in the grave. And I remember early on as we were doing full body burials and working with some funeral home personnel, they had not been at a green cemetery where participants who had shown up at the burial actually did the burial. Indeed, many people are used to having some type of funeral celebration of life or memorial inside a building, then going to the cemetery and having a casket on some kind of mechanical apparatus at the gravesite, and whoever is the officiant says some words, usually a prayer, and then everybody leaves. Well, at a green cemetery, people have the option to actually not only witness the burial, but to be part of the process to do the burial. It's really important as you check into different providers that you find out what experience people have had with greeting the end of life. I've had to educate some cemetery personnel and some funeral home personnel when I've done burial ceremonies and funerals in other locations outside of Circle Cemetery. And many people are surprised at the idea of actually having participants do the burial. And I'm glad to report that with the right kind of communications and preparations, we've helped, I guess, expand the diversity of end-of-life ceremonies at a variety of different cemeteries. Some cemeteries are hybrid cemeteries, which means that there are vaults and liners and steel caskets and embalmed bodies in part of the cemetery, but there's a part of the cemetery where green burial is accommodated. Now, sometimes they still want a liner because of the maintenance of the grounds. And if you have a cemetery you really feel called to use, and perhaps it's a family cemetery, and you really want your body to go down deep into the earth and decompose, well, if a liner is required, ask if it can be a fiberglass one that's lift upward. So that way the body and its container can biodegrade and go down deep into the earth. And I had that as a solution with one of the burials that I helped with years before Circle Cemetery started doing full body burials. So there's a lot to keep in mind as you consider greeting the end of life. Some other things I'd like to share in this last part of our time together, it has to do with cemetery choices. So some things to ask about and to learn about. Do you get to pick the location? Is it a particular plot, or is it a cemetery such as Circle Cemetery that it's the availability of what's happening in the ground, the groundskeeping area at the time of death? And different cemeteries handle that decision-making process in different ways. Are you able to have a grave marker? And if so, what kind of marker can you have? Circle Cemetery is a bit different than some other green cemeteries in the USA. Some green cemeteries do not permit any markers at all. Some just want the land to look as it's in its natural state, and I honor that. But as somebody who has done genealogical work as part of my ancestor honoring, I can tell you firsthand that I actually have not only a grave marker with names and dates on it, but a marker that's going to last can be really important. And I've been able to find out some information about my own ancestors, even though they had died several hundred years ago, because there was a good grave marker at their grave, and I was still able to read it, do rubbing from it, whatever. So we have granite markers as an option at Circle Sanctuary Cemetery, and we have that because they're long-lasting, and the markers that we have available, and there aren't lots of design choices or anything like that, they're recumbent. They lie flat on the ground. And you can preserve the natural lay of the land that way, but at the same time have a very specific place where you can know for sure that's where the remains of your loved one is. And having a flat granite marker also, in a way, can serve as a kind of altar. And another thing to find out about with cemetery, what are the hours that it's open? Is it open all the time? What's its security process? For Circle Cemetery, we have ours open at our events and some other times, special arrangement. Right now, in 2022, when I'm doing this presentation, we have just reopened again during the pandemic. So we aren't as open as we once were prior to the pandemic, but we're hoping that the pandemic will eventually disappear and we can have more visiting hours and more events on site without the complexities that have gone along with the pandemic. We think it's important to have good security at the cemetery, so we actually have a locked gate. Some cemeteries don't. They're open and you come and go as you please. But the positive thing is you have access 24/7. The negative side of that is that desecration of graves are a much higher risk that way. Another thing to find out is if you're going to have some grave markers, what kind of grave markers are permitted, and what types of symbols can be put on the gravestones. One of the great things about having our own Circle Cemetery is we have lots of choice with that, and many of the people who have loved ones at our cemetery, their loved ones have chosen, or the person who died prior to death has chosen to have some type of pagan symbol on their grave. Part of Circle Cemetery is Veterans Ridge, and we actually have U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs issued grave markers, and because we were able to get the pinnacle on the list of emblems of belief that can be included on veteran grave markers, and in 2022, in April, we're coming up to the 15th anniversary of that. Well, we have pinnacle markers on some of the first markers issued by the VA with pinnacles on them at our cemetery. And we hope get the Awin on the list for Druids and for people who work with the Awin symbol as part of their spiritual practice. So finding out what kind of images can be on gravestones, what kind of markers can be there, is another important thing to find out. Our stones are very heavy, and they are set directly in the earth. We don't have any cement, concrete, or anything holding the stones in place. And we have chosen that as a more natural way to accommodate having a stone and also keeping our cemetery as green as possible. Now, early on, I mentioned as we looked at green burial as an option, the body isn't embalmed, you have a biodegradable container. Well, one exception to the biodegradable aspect of green burial is that, as in the ancient past, we do permit people to have objects to go into their graves that might not biodegrade quickly, if at all. So some people have chosen to have jewelry buried with them. One person who died has a violin that's in the casket. Another person chose to have a fishing line and reel because the person was an avid fisher person. And so we have those options available. Not all green cemeteries allow grave goods, but this is the original way of doing green burial for thousands of years. People not only return human bodies to the earth, but chances are they put some things in with the body. Sometimes they were tools that the person used while they were alive, sometimes flowers. So you see some microscopic analysis of the soil can even tell us what kind of plants were in some of these old graves. And certainly jewelry and spiritual objects also can go into a grave. Well, that is an overview of greening death. And as we celebrate life in the springtime here in North America, as we are headed towards Earth Day in April, spring is springing in many places. Well, I invite you, as you do eco-education and eco-activism, to consider greening the end of your life, to do greening death, to support green cemeteries, to let others that you know about greening the end of life options. And clearly there is more videos and articles and podcasts now about green burial, green cemeteries, green funerals. I have some up at the Circle Sanctuary YouTube channel, as well as my Selena Fox YouTube channel, and I have some photographs and some videos and Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and some other social media. And there are other people who also have information about green burial and greening the end of life. So what to do is follow up from our time together. Well, make some notes about some learnings that you take from this, and I invite this to be a start. If you are new to this as something that you might consider for yourself and for loved ones, and to continue your learning. And if you're at a place in your life journey where you have made plans or you want to make plans, then review any plans you've made and update them. And if you haven't yet set your plans down, then this is a really good time to work on that. Return, 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 return to the mother. Oh, yes, return. Return, return, return to the mother. That's a chant that I have used as part of green funerals, green burials, and celebrations of life. And I also have used a chant that is adapted from Starhawk and the Reclaiming community that's used in connection with their spiral dance at Samhain. There's no end to the circle, no end. There's no end to, and then I've changed the life word to love. There's no end to love. There is no end. So be thinking as you green the end of your life as part of your living sustainably, what kind of ceremony you might want, what kind of chants you might want, the music, words, and you may want to create a folder on a device or even paper copies with some of your ideas and have them available so that as you continue to live your life and from time to time review your end-of-life plans, that it can be a creative process and an eco-friendly one. Thank you all for joining me for Greening Death workshop tonight. I have more information about Circle Cemetery that's at the Circle Sanctuary's website, circlesanctuary.org. And yes, there's some videos done through Circle Sanctuary's YouTube channel, as well as my Selena Fox one, as well as I have done podcasts and video talks for others. So there's a lot of additional information that I've shared that's out there in the larger realm, as well as more and more. There are directories of green cemeteries, there are books about sustaining the environment with end-of-life planning, and I'm very thankful to be part of the process of not only living green, but in death, greening death. Bright blessings, and may you have a wonderful life, and may we work together to have a healthier environment. So be it. We'll be right back.
and thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.